Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
After an 18-inning slugfest last night between the LA Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays that ended with a Freddie Freeman walk-off giganto dong, Shohei Ohtani was standing down on the field for his post-game interview. Yeah, me too, Shohei. I want to go to sleep as soon as possible. Hey, that might be the title of my autobiography at some point. I want to go to sleep as soon as possible. The Rob Brown story. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you want to be a part of the show, call that number, text that number. We will read them on the radio show. We will put you on the air and respond to them as you submit your thoughts. We got a lot more we need to get to on the radio program today. Talked a little bit in that last segment about South Carolina. Again, I thought the biggest problem in that game, I think the reason for the loss to Alabama, specifically it being so late in the game, and I didn't even think it was the full fourth quarter. It was just the last 4 minutes of the game or so. It really came down to you stop doing everything that puts you in a position to win. It is tale as old as time when it comes to sports, man. Like, too many teams that just get to a point where they decide that they want to do whatever they can do. Like you do a thing that got you to where you are, gave you a chance to win, especially if you're an underdog. Why, oh, why would you get to a point where you stop doing that thing? And I think ultimately that's what happened with the South Carolina Gamecocks. And listen, just to tie it over, it's not just you. I think the same thing happened for the Toronto Blue Jays last night. This is a team that won a bunch of games to get to the ALCS, won games in the ALCS because they trusted their guys in spots to come through with big hits with runners in scoring position, right? Like, they trusted their guys. Now, granted, George Springer was out of the game, and he's kind of your go-to guy at that point, but they, throughout the course of this postseason, trusted their guys to come up with big spots in big spots that allowed them to score runs when they needed them. And last night, for whatever reason, there were a bunch of spots where all of the sudden, they're sending guys to try to outrun the outfield arms of the Dodgers, which, no, you're not going to outrun the cannon of Teoscar Hernandez. Like, it's just not going to happen. They're challenging arms in ways that they didn't challenge arms all postseason long, and all of a sudden they are. The one that I pointed out back in the opening hour of the show was Davis Schneider, who was the pinch hitter for Ty France, who was the pinch hitter for George Springer. George Springer took a hack in the game. He ended up like grimacing and holding his back. He would leave the game. Ty France would come in as the pinch hitter. He would get a hit. And then Schneider would step in as his pinch hitter a little bit later on in the game. Schneider would get on with his one hit in three at-bats. Schneider would get to first. They would send him. He gets thrown out by 6 feet. It's like, all right, so let me get this right. You got a dude in Davis Schneider who has not seen a lot of play time. You got a dude who, granted, like, he's not the slowest guy in the world. He's 5'9", 190. Like, he's got some speed on the bags, but he's not exactly known for it. Not a lot of stolen bases showing up on the stat sheet for Davis Schneider. And in a spot where one run can probably win you the game in the 12th inning, in a spot where the Dodgers have not scored a run in a minute now, you decide for a team that, by the way, at this point in the game, you had Vladdy, you had Bo Bichette. Bichette was pulled at that point. You had Connor Falefa coming up. You had Varsho. You had Heinemann. Like, you had your guys coming up, and that's the spot that you decide. That's the spot that you decide that you want to send your guy. That you want to send a guy instead of doing what you've done all year. Hey, man, let's get you to third base. Let's get you into scoring position. Let's get you to a spot where we trust the 4, 5, 6 guys that we have in the lineup, even if they are pinch hitters. They are pinch hitting in the 5 or the 6 spot for a reason. Put runners on third base. It is the most frustrating thing that teams do when they get to a spot where you are not where you're further along than you thought that you expected to be. You are a big time underdog, like, I don't know, 11.5 points at the crib to a team that's top 4 in the country, and you do something and you do something and you do something and you do something, and it puts you in that spot. And then when the lights get bright, when it is go time for your biggest moment, for you to capitalize on the fact that you did what you did and you did it well enough to get you there, you don't do that thing anymore. And that's what I saw out of South Carolina. That's what I saw out of Toronto last night. Now, again, like, the Dodgers are a real good baseball team, just like the Alabama Crimson Tide are a real good football team. There's plenty of spots where you might do something that you do all day long. You might do something that you do all game long. And then the other team's just better than you are. I've told that story about my old middle school coach, Tom Grant, 100 times on this station. We got beat by a rival. Tom Grant walked in the locker room. He took off his big-ass straw hat. He sat down on the bench press, and he looked at us, and we were all ready to get our asses chewed out. And he looked at it and said, boys, today you had the worst problem in sports. The other team was just flat-out better than you are. And that was a life lesson. That has stuck with me. Here I am, 30-some-odd years later, telling that story. It stuck with me. You just got to learn. Sometimes you can do the best you can do. My dad told me this all the time as well. Sometimes you can do everything right and do everything right to the best of your ability. And sometimes other people are just better than you at stuff and you're going to lose. The question mark is, how do you rebound from that? But I don't think that's what happened in the Alabama game. I don't think you went 3.8 quarters of football where you were either A, in the game, or B, leading the game. And then suddenly in the final 0.2% of the game, Alabama just flipped the switch and we're like, oh yeah, that's right, that's who the hell we are. I don't think that's what happened. I think you had a good game plan. I think you had a good game plan. I think you executed the game plan. And then when the pressure cooker got turned up to 11 like an amp for the band Spinal Tap, you wilted. All of a sudden, defensively. And I got to, like, I had this conversation with a friend of mine who's a Gamecock fan over the weekend. We got a lot of spots right now. I think we have 10 open jobs in college football right now, which, if I recall correctly, I believe is the most in-season open jobs we've ever seen at the FBS level of football. 10 in-season open jobs. And there's probably 4 to 5 more coming open. We could have 15 open jobs the day after the national championship game. We got 15 open jobs. And so, in a spot where you have 15 open jobs, some of those schools are going to have to take a swing. And I was looking at this game after this game was over, and especially considering what it was last year, what it was this year. Let's be real. Like, the offense played as well as we've seen the offense play all year long. The defense had you win that game. The defense gave you a chance to win that game. And I told a South Carolina friend of mine on Sunday, I would not be shocked if you lose Clayton White to a head coaching position this year. I would not be shocked. And I don't think it would be like, you know, Penn State, LSU. But I think if you're a Georgia Tech, scratch that, Virginia Tech. If you're a Virginia Tech, is Clayton White not kind of interesting to you right now? If you're Stanford, if you're UCLA, is Clayton White not kind of interesting to you? Especially considering, again, those types of schools. There is only going to be one big name available to those type of schools, and that is going to be James Franklin. But with potentially 15 open jobs, and for a school like a UCLA or a Stanford, who are at the bottom of that list of 15 teams, you're going to have to make an interesting hire. And you're going to have to hope that you hit on your Kurt Cignetti, your Brent Key, your Clark Lee. They're out there. There are three teams in the top 10 right now that are in the top 10 right now because they had to go hire an interesting choice at HC, a guy that not a lot of us knew a whole lot about. Cignetti, Key, Lee. And would you look at that? It worked out. Now, there's a lot of schools that aren't in the top 10 that did the same thing, and they missed. They just didn't get a Cignetti, a Lee, or a Key. But they're there. They're there. The opportunity is there. So, if I'm looking like I'm going to go take a swing, with what I have seen out of the South Carolina Gamecock defense the last two seasons, is Clayton White not a very interesting name for you? He would be for me. If I'm Stanford, if I'm Virginia Tech, if I'm Cal. That's a real interesting name for me. Really, honestly, probably an even more interesting name if I'm like a Big Ten or Midwestern school. Those schools that kind of like to pride themselves on hard-nosed defense, right? Black shirts at Nebraska. We like to pride ourselves on a hard-nosed defense. That Clayton White's absolutely a guy I'm super interested in. So that is why I was a little bit surprised that defensively, less so than the offense, but defensively, it felt to me like you were in a spot there that you had an opportunity. It felt like you were in a spot there that you were predicating to Alabama what Alabama's offense was going to be allowed to do. And again, the take was always going to be, there's going to be something available for the Alabama offense. And they've got the talent to take advantage of it. But we are going to throw a bunch of different looks at you from a bunch of different places, and you're only going to beat us if you can find what is available. We're going to take this away on that and that away on this. We're not going to let your running backs beat us to the outside. We're not going to let Ty Simpson get outside the pocket and expand or extend plays as he is wont to do. We're not going to let those things happen. We're going to give, like, there's going to be a pocket. And we're going to close that pocket around you. And you're going to have to stand in that pocket. And you are going to have to deliver the football. And if you do that, great. Like, good job. You're a really good football team. You'll beat us. But we're not going to let you do what you've been doing to everybody else to beat us. And I thought defensively you did a great job. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, you just stopped. All of a sudden, running back slipping out of the backfield, no longer a priority. And Ty Simpson's finding those guys. All of a sudden, coverage on the outside, which was more about making sure that wide receivers were not able to be a part of the play as anything more than a distraction. All of a sudden, that wasn't a priority anymore. All of a sudden, the things that happened, the things that you did, the things that were working to get you in that game, you went away from it. And then, like I mentioned, that last drive, the drive that Lenora Sellers fumbled the football, a buck 39 left to play. Alabama able to take it down the length of the field. And again, great, great play, by the way, by DQ Smith, the DB. I saw a lot of people like, why did he pull up? Why did he not knock the running back out of bounds? Well, I mean, because you're out of timeouts. If Alabama does anything at all that lets the clock keep running, and it would have been a first down, so they would have, all they got to do is come back in, kneel the football, run it down to 3 seconds, kick the walk off. The only way South Carolina can extend that game, obviously, the only way South Carolina can extend that game is if Alabama scores a touchdown. They kick the extra point, you got 30-whatever seconds left to play, they kick off, and now you got 27-some-odd seconds to figure out how you're going to drive the length of the field and come up with a miracle Hail Mary touchdown. So it's a smart play defensively. It was a smart play defensively, but you shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. Why did you fumble the ball? Because in a game where all game long, your offense was finally utilizing a little creativity. A lot of motion, a lot of unorthodox blocking schemes. Your offensive line was not being asked to win the line of scrimmage in a 5v5 battle straight up. You were moving guys. You were pulling guys. And again, like pulling offense and pulling guards, pulling tackles have been a part of the Shula offense all year. But like it hasn't been going well. And I don't know if this is Sean Elliott or not, but like all of a sudden, the pulls are efficient. Guys are getting to where they need to be. But I think a lot of that also had to do with the fact that because you were adding extra blockers, because you were adding slot wide receivers, except those slot wide receivers were lined up to the inside of a tackle, to the outside hip of a guard. And now they're an extra offensive lineman, but it's not just fire off and hit somebody. Like this guy is wrapping around the guard to get the second level, or he's stepping up to hit the end and the guard's pulling around him to get to the outside. Whatever the scheme might have been, there was a lot of different schemes that were being played that we had not seen before. And because there were a lot of schemes being played that we had not seen before, that meant Alabama hadn't seen it before. And they just were not reacting to it. And you took advantage. And then all of the sudden, you get to the end of the game. Your offense needs 30, 40 yards. You're in field goal range for the walk-off in that spot. And what play do we dial up? Inside run, quarterback draw. And not just quarterback draw and Lenore's be creative. Like, it's like, no, follow your lead blocker off center. We go back to, as we have a bunch of times, we go back to the last few games, and I have had one primary complaint. It is not that you're running off guard, off tackle. It is not that you're running inside. It's that you're running inside to the weakest spot on your offensive line, your guard-center combo, and you're doing it consistently. And so in the biggest play of the biggest game of the year, that's what you do again. Like the thing that hasn't worked yet. You have got a playbook of stuff that has been working for 3.85 quarters, 3.9 quarters. Playbook of stuff that's been working. And then in the moment that it was most important, in the moment that it was the biggest, at that spot, you decide, let's go back to the thing that wasn't working that lost us a bunch of games. Okay. All right. That's what it was to me. That's what happened. That's what went wrong. That's what it was. Texter said, Rob, it's all of a sudden, not all of the sudden. Please fix your grammar. I looked that up, Texter, and you are absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. The correct phrase is all of a sudden, not all of the sudden. So, Texter, I would like to say, and I mean this sincerely, thank you very much for correcting that, because I have always said all of the sudden, and it is meant to be all of a sudden. So I appreciate that.
You're not going to change.
No, I absolutely will.
Here's the thing. If you are tuning into this show for proper grammar always, what's
no, it's not the right place for it, but yeah, I still like to know. I mean, now, there was, I will say this.
Name me a morning show that has proper grammar. I don't.
There is a correct usage of all of the sudden, but it is in a case where you are talking about the sudden moment. The idiom, all of a sudden, is when you are talking about kind of a contextual moment of time. If we are saying, if I'm telling a story about a specific time, if I was to say, we got a text that talked about my grammar all of the sudden, that would be correct. But the idiom is all of a sudden. So, Texter, thank you for correcting my grammar. I appreciate that very much. I appreciate all you hanging out. Stick around. Back after this, the Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is?
With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio program. We told you a story earlier in the show. The NCAA has, congratulations, lost yet another legal decision. If you missed it, worry not. I'll fill you in on the deets. Here's what you need to know. A lawsuit that was filed on behalf of a Gonzaga men's basketball player has granted said Gonzaga basketball player an injunction. The decision was made to allow said Gonzaga men's basketball player to have eligibility stay intact for this year. The eligibility in question comes from the fact that this Gonzaga player, and I do want to pull up the exact details, so stick with me for just a minute because I lost them during the break. I'm awesome. Here it is.
So that's why you kept saying Gonzaga player, because you couldn't remember the name.
Because I couldn't remember his name.
Okay, all right.
Tyon Grant Foster is his name. Granted a preliminary injunction by a Spokane County judge, allowing him to play for Gonzaga this season. Here is how the story worked out. Originally, Grant Foster was a member of the 2018 high school class. He went on to play two seasons at Indian Hills Community College before transferring to Kansas. Played 22 games for the Jayhawks in 2020-21. Then he transferred to DePaul. At halftime of the Blue Demons' first game of the 2021-22 season, Grant Foster collapsed in the locker room, was rushed to a hospital, underwent multiple heart surgeries, missed 16 months of action. He returned to the court at Grand Canyon for the 23-24 season. He ended up winning the WAC Player of the Year after averaging 20.1 and 6.1 boards, led the Lopes to the NCAA tournament and the program's first NCAA tournament win over St. Mary's, followed that up with averages of 14.8 and 5.9 boards last season. That was before he transferred to Gonzaga. The NCAA considered Grant Foster's 2 years at Indian Hills and 2 years at Grand Canyon as his 4 years of eligibility. However, Grant Foster's lawyers argued that the blanket waiver given to former junior college transfers in December of 2024 should give him one more year of eligibility. The Spokane County judge has agreed to that. Now, this is a notable development for Gonzaga, the basketball team, as Grant Foster is a candidate to start up front alongside all WCC first-teamers Graham Ike and Braden Huff. He went directly from the courthouse to Gonzaga's exhibition game against Western Oregon, which started less than an hour after the ruling from Judge Marla Polin. Gonzaga opens the regular season November 3rd against Texas Southern, and Grant Foster will be on the team. Now, this is not about this particular waiver. In fact, I do not suspect that there are many more Division I college athletes, or even D2, but Division I college athletes out there that fit the profile of Tyon Grant Foster. I doubt that there are many more players who have not filed a lawsuit. Diego Pavia was in this group. That have not filed a lawsuit, making the argument in front of a judge at some level that the waiver that was handed out in 2024 should retroactively apply to them. And then B, and this is really what the key to this lawsuit and the rest of the lawsuits are about, making the argument that junior college experience should not count towards NCAA experience because it's played under a different organization. So they're saying junior college, which is operated differently, separately from the NCAA, should not count towards NCAA eligibility. And the more that these types of lawsuits, even though this is for a different reason and a different situation, the more that these types of lawsuits end up going against the NCAA, and the more that, at this point, hell, every lawsuit goes against the NCAA, the more I believe, the more I am convinced that, you know, the NCAA may never win another lawsuit at this point. And so my question becomes, if they never win another lawsuit, and if more and more and more starts getting pulled out of the NCAA, we have talked for a very long time about what I believe to be the inevitability of college ball. And that is a or a couple of super conferences. Likely, it is the SEC and the Big Ten. They will add whoever else is left out there, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Duke, North Carolina. And then you'll have two super conferences. Those two super conferences will play their own seasons. At the end of said seasons, the two super conference champs will play for the national championship in the grand scheme of things. And then everybody who is not invited to participate in the two super conferences will end up playing in what I have lovingly referred to as the EEC, as in the Everybody Else Conference. So if, I don't know, Wake Forest. Wake Forest. Let's say Wake Forest. If Wake Forest doesn't get an invite to the SEC or the Big Ten, then they would be one of the schools in the EEC. And they would exist today the way that FCS football exists to FBS football in the future, right? Like everybody who's anybody will be in whatever the super conferences are called, but that will be effectively FBS. And all the schools that do not get invited to participate, they will all play at a lower level. That will be the new age FCS. And that the EEC, the FCS level, could be enormous because you will still have a desire for schools, small schools, Furman's, Wofford's, to be able to play football. So is now there a third level of college football? Is it the Wakes of the world that do not get invited to the big show who develop a second level? That's the new FCS. And the schools that are FCS now are FDS? I don't know how that's going to work. But here is what I am looking at. If we see the continued loss of lawsuit after lawsuit by the NCAA, remember we told you yesterday about the lawsuit that was filed right here in South Carolina, which awarded $18 million, 10 to a former player named Robert Gaithers, who played at SC State back from 77 to 80, and $8 million to his wife, upon whom he is dependent now because he suffers from dementia and other mental issues. And those mental issues were testified to on a stand as connected to having CTE. And while CTA cannot be diagnosed, as of today, CTE cannot be diagnosed until the person in question is deceased, the best they can do is say this is very symptomatic, and it is very much connected to CTE. So the NCAA is now obligated to pay this man $18 million. Well, him 10, his wife 8. Though there is a there is an appeal available to the NCAA, and the belief is that it will be appealed. Now, do I think that the NCAA is going to win that appeal? No, I definitely do not. I do not. And that's $18 million off the books. And if that guy, Robert Gaithers, is able to get $18 million out of the NCAA, do you not think that there's going to be another few dozen, another few hundred former players out there who are now suffering from mental issues, whether it's dementia or something else, and caretakers and spouses, et cetera, that are going to say, wait a minute, if Robert Gaither's got $18 million, and the ruling, by the way, very quickly, because this is important, the ruling, by the way, was that they owe $18 million because a jury was convinced in a civil suit, so there's no legal standing on this, it's a civil suit, but a jury was convinced in this civil suit that the NCAA was aware enough in 1977, 8, 9, and 80. They were convinced in the late 1970s that concussions could lead to lifelong damage and did not pass that information on. Now, the NCAA is appealing and saying, wait a minute, we did pass on everything that we knew, because player safety was important to us then, just like it's important to us now. But we did pass on everything that we knew. But it was, at least in this one case, successfully argued in front of a jury that the NCAA knew more than they indicated, more than they let on, and that they did not inform the players how serious this was. $18 million awarded. Do you not think there's another few dozen, another few hundred former players out there who might see that and all of a sudden decide this is a great time to file a lawsuit as well? And if all of that happens, now will it send the NCAA, which again is at the point where they are about to watch millions of dollars. They already are, because of how much money they owe in back NIL / back rev share down the line, whatever it is. They're going to be in a spot now where now they might be on the hook for tens, maybe hundreds of millions of more damages if this civil suit becomes one that is refiled by former players over and over and they lose over and over and over again. I circle all of this to say, if this organization keeps losing these lawsuits like this, and I'm not saying that they will or won't, should or shouldn't, not taking a stance on that. What I'm saying is this. If they do keep losing these lawsuits, then we might be speedrunning our way to the super conferences. It may get to a point where the conferences say, look, it is not viable for the NCAA at this point to exist. They are going to have to cease to exist. They are going to have to liquidate everything to pay off as much of these lawsuits as they can pay off. And that's just going to mean that there is no governing body. And if there is no governing body, which is more likely? That the Big Ten and the SEC prop up a new ACC, or that the Big Ten and the SEC prop up their own agency that they are directly in charge of as the conferences? And if that is the case, do you think anybody's going to be able to compete with that? Anybody's going to be able to prop up a new NCAA that is going to be able to take the everybody else conference and compete with the Big Ten and the SEC? Absolutely not, because everybody who's anybody will be in those super conferences. Point that I'm making is, I have said for a long time, I think the super conferences are in inevitability. But the reality of the situation now is we might be speed running our way to that. We might be flying towards that if the NCAA keeps losing lawsuits like this. When we come back, I got two really funny, not really sports, but maybe a little sports, but not super sports related stories that I want to share with you before we get up out of here. I'm Rob Pizalonzo. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rye Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I've given you a couple of, we've given you a lot of sports story today. Talked a lot about college football. Talked about the coaching quest. There are 10 open jobs in college football right now. 10 in the season. Most available in season in FBS football history at this point. And there are expected to be from 2 to 5 more that come open at the end of the year. We're talking power and upper level conference jobs. We could have up to 15 jobs open the day after the national championship game. Lane Kiffin is about to open up a can of worms because of the amount of money that he is going to receive offers for. LSU is in the mix. They are one of those money is no object schools. Penn State is in the mix. If Adidas really is buying out James Franklin's contract on behalf of Penn State, money will be no object for them. Florida is in the mix. They only owe Billy Napier $22 million, less than half of what Brian Kelly is owed and James Franklin is owed. Not that money will be no issue for Florida, but they've got a lot of resources. It won't be. There's 3 jobs right there, all expected to be bidding on the services of one Lane Kiffin, which means that the price for everybody is about to go up. The price for everybody is about to go up. I'm really intrigued to see what direction all of this is going to go in down the line. I'm really interested to see what the ultimate result of this whole thing is. I think that this has got great potential to change the way that we look at college football coaches down the line, or that college football coaches are treated down the line. I think you are going to see likely at some point in the future, I think you are going to start to see head coaching contracts that are very similar to like NFL player contracts. There are guaranteed years. There is guaranteed salary within those years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. All right, now, two stories. One is sports adjacent-ish. The other is absolutely not, but I just find it hysterical. Both of these are news pieces from legitimate, actual, credible news outlets. The first one that I want to play for you is from a news outlet in Washington State. I don't know how to set it up any better than that. So enjoy.
So it's all about that last part, huh?
10,000%.
Mm-hmm.
10,000%. Did I want to give credit to the news anchors there for getting to the end of what was already a hilarious deal and just knock it off with, you know, I've never seen him look that polished before. You can see him from a block away.
I was going to ask you if
that's
you,
a if, shiny
if
peach.
If you would do that.
1,000%.
But I know you would. So.
1,000%. Now, in fairness, if I was on the news, like it would depend on have I been an anchor for like a very long time and it's really funny and I'm good and I'm comfortable in my job, then yeah, absolutely. I would do it on this show without a question.
Well, yeah.
I've literally called home runs giant dongs for five years now.
Don't do that. So you're implying it means something else.
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, okay. I know that some of you people with perverted juvenile minds do. And the point is, I'm not going to let that be claimed by those of you who keep your minds in the gutters. All right? It's just not going to happen.
I appreciate you standing up for that.
You know, it's what I believe in. And I think if you're not standing up for what you believe in, what are you standing up for, you know? Now, let me give you one more. This is a piece that was run by the Wall Street Journal. All right, so.
When did that change?
That has been that way for a while.
Because I have pictures.
The sitting down part?
Yeah, I have pictures that would prove otherwise.
From like way back in the day?
Well, from, oh, I don't know, maybe. Maybe
this is from like the last like 20 years.
Yeah, well, it would have been.
Okay.
Because we were doing a live remote.
No, that's different. That's different. If you're there and you're working, you're doing a remote, it's different that they sit with you when you're doing a show versus like sitting with me if I'm just a paying customer.
All right. I don't know why it's different. Yeah. I didn't ask them to sit down.
Correct, but you're paying to be there. You're part of a show. You're a show, right?
Okay.
I'm sitting in the corner trying to drink a beer and eat some wings. I'm part of the show. Now, I have a couple of things I want to say real quick in the next minute and 45 seconds about Hooters. Number one, I used to go to Hooters all the time, both when I was growing up with my old man. And then after I grew up, I went to Hooters by myself. And I stand on this. I don't lie to you on the radio program. I went because Hooters wings used to kick ass. They had the best wings in the game. They had the best breading in the game. They had the best texture and mouthfeel in the game. And they had the biggest, fattest, juiciest wings in the game. I meant this to the point that I, for a very long time, when I used to do a show, because for 2 years, I did a radio show called the Hooters Sports Show, hosted by Rob Brown. Every night of the week, I was in a different Hooters doing my show. And I, at one point, ran a little dealio on my show where I talked to the guy that owned the Hooters, a guy by the name of Stuart Houston, phenomenal human being, passed away a few years ago. I talk Stu into one night a week doing, because I said, hey, there's a lot of fellas that want to come, but they can't because they got wives and kids, and like their wives and kids are no. So we ran a deal where one night of the week when Rob Brown was doing a show at a different Hooters, we did a family night, and the girls came in and they wore long pants and they wore like sweaters or t-shirts or whatever, no cleavage, no nothing. They were covered up entirely, and that way the fellas could come in and say, see, I really do like the wings here. They're the best wings in the game, and they had the coldest beer, and they had a billion TVs. And then they got corporatized. And for those of you that always go, oh, Rob, you liberal work warrior, blah, 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 this is why I complain about private equity taking over everything. Because when it does, they do not give a damn about quality or what you want. They care about one thing and one thing alone, which is maximizing profit. So when that happened, Hooters went to crappier wings. They dropped the quality of the breading. The wings suffered as a whole. And now all of a sudden, there's no reason for me to go there. Because, yeah, I will tell you straight up, I'm not going there for hot waitresses. Is that a nice little side bonus for a lot of fellas? Sure, we'd be lying if it wasn't. But at the same time, it ain't the reason I used to go to Hooters. I used to go to Hooters because the wings were phenomenal. Then they got bought out. It became all about profit, not about quality of the food. The wings suffered, and then Hooters started to suck a bunch. Now, the OG owners are back and buying up the Hooters back from the private equity firms, and they want to go back to OG Hooters. If they go back to OG Hooters, your boy will be back. I will be their biggest fan. Bring back OG Hooters, where those wings were without question the best in the game, dog. I stand on all that.
Okay, there's a sagging joke in there somewhere. But anyway. The first thing that is Xing is Kevin Stefanski.
Kevin Stefanski is Xing because it was announced yesterday that Carson Wentz is going out for the season. He's got to have surgery because he's got a torn labrum, and he's got a sprained shoulder, and he's got a fractured shoulder joint. All those things sound really bad. Yet, that happened back on October 5th, which means that Carson Wentz has played like multiple games with those injuries. I believe that this past Thursday was his second or third game with those injuries. And so the question mark is, did Carson Wentz lie to the Vikings and say, I'm not hurt, I'm fine? Or did he not lie to the Vikings? And maybe he lied about the severity, but the Vikings didn't say anything about it and just trotted him out there to get his ass kicked with a broken freaking shoulder anyway. All of this coming back around to Kevin Stefanski, because the other question mark is Carson Wentz starting because Kevin Stefanski can't work with J.J. McCarthy? And that is the question a lot of Minnesota Vikings fans have right now is J.J. McCarthy a guy? Is he a dude that can make something happen, or did we overestimate what he is and what he can do? And I don't know that we know an answer to that yet.
All right, the next thing is axing is Draymond Green.
Draymond Green axing because he did something last night. Now, I'm not going to lie, I don't know what Draymond did last night because I don't care.
I do.
Please tell me.
You should look it up.
Did he punch somebody?
No, he got called for a flagrant foul, and the free throw was missed.
Yep.
And he did a wonderful dance afterwards.
I see it now.
Yes.
It's like he's riding like a hobby. He's like the dollar bill from Xavier Leggett.
Yeah.
And he does it around homeboy who shot the free throw.
Oh, come on. It's funny. You know, it's
here's
it's
what we got
up.
Last night. I just found it. Full court pass just put up. The sequence of events was turnover, tackled Santi Aldama by the neck from behind. So there's the Draymond Green.
Okay.
Yelled, "You soft as," at him. Jaren Jackson Jr. came over to his face, told Jaren Jackson Jr. to shut the up, and then danced in their faces when they missed both free throws.
Was the soft guy the one who missed the free throw?
He called the guy who, again, he tackled by the neck soft.
Yeah.
And then when Jaren Jackson came over, and what was, obviously very clearly like a level 19 technical foul, called him, quote, soft as bleep. And then when Jaren Jackson Jr. came over to stand up for his boy, said, shut TF up. And then hit the celly when homeboy missed the free throw because ball don't lie.
So he did his job. Whether we like him or not, that's his job.
He did Draymond things.
Yes, he did. Yep. All right. Yeah. I thought the dance was funny. It's wrong, but funny. The next thing that's Xing is Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss is Xing because she just should be.
Her hair, Lyra Valkyria's hair got stuck in Alexa Bliss's shirt.
Okay.
And so she had to take her shirt off in the middle of the match in order to...
Assuming when you shirt, you mean T-shirt.
Well, her gear.
Her gear.
But
that's
she
big
had,
different.
Yeah, she had something on underneath. Mm-hmm. So, like a sports bra or something.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that right now, I'm assuming that Alexa Bliss is about to get a very big spike in Google searches around the upstate of South
Carolina.
Well,
there's a reason why she was Xing.
That's fair.
I mean...
There is.
You know... But it's okay. Everyone was okay. I guess they got it dislodged from Lyra Valkyrie's
hair. Good.
I was
very worried about the health safety. Yeah.
Well, they may have had to cut Lyra's hair off.
That's what I was worried about.
And it's green.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce Xing because last night Travis Kelce scored his 83rd touchdown as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is now tied with Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns scored by any Chief in franchise history. There's also a video going around of him. I guess him and Tay-Tay decided to go out and grab dinner after the game last night. And I will say, I thought that this was pretty cool of them. They went into the restaurant. Obviously, they know that, like, that's going to be a thing. Apparently, the two of them went around and said hello to every table. Just like, what's up? We're Trav. I'm Taylor. Nice to meet you. Hey. So that everybody could have their moment so that they could go in the back and have dinner.
Did they go to Travis's restaurant, though?
I don't know.
I mean, because that's kind of, you know. So
yeah.
He's greeting patrons, if it's that case, so he's kind of working.
I don't know where they went. I don't know what the restaurant was. I don't honestly particularly care all that much. I just thought,
it's
all right.
1587 or 8715, I forget which one, steakhouse, which is supposedly pretty good. When we go there, we'll definitely go. All right, and finally.
Cool way of them to give everybody a chance to like have their moment, but then also go have their moment, you know?
The last thing that is Xing is Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman Xing because after 18 innings. That is an entire second baseball game after the first baseball game. Bottom 18, Freddie Freeman said, Good night, Toronto! Went gigantic dong to center. It was an incredible moment that I slept through because it happened at, and this is not a joke, 2:50 a.m. this morning. Game three is tonight, and hopefully only tonight and not also tomorrow morning. Enjoy it. We're back tomorrow. We'll break down game four tomorrow morning on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.